neck waiting. I'm wondering if you'll give me about 20 minutes just to deposit a word into your spirit today. I feel like we've already had a beautiful altar time today and people are touched, but I want to share for just a few moments on this subject of miracles, and I want to talk to you about unbelieving believers. Unbelieving believers. I know that seems like an oxymoron. It is. How can I be an unbelieving believer? How can I be someone who believes but at the same time struggles to believe? How can I be a person of faith and yet I struggle in my faith? I don't know about you, but I want God's miracles in my life. But I think all of us have questions like who gets miracles? How do they happen? And why do they happen to some and not to others? Why does it seem like other people are receiving miracles and I'm still praying and asking and waiting and wondering if they will ever happen to me? And all of those questions deserve to be answered, and maybe some of those will be answered for you in these next few moments. But I want to read just a little bit of scripture. Psalm 77 and verse 14 says, "You are the God of miracles and wonders. You still demonstrate your awesome power." I think we've established the point today that it's not just the miracles of the Bible. It's not just the stories in the Old Testament. It's not just the crazy, hard-to-believe ideas that happen in certain people's lives, but miracles still happen today. He is the God of miracles and wonders, and he still demonstrates his awesome power. But let's look at an unbelieving believer in Mark chapter 9 today, beginning at verse 16. When Jesus comes into the conversation, he literally asks the question, "What is this arguing about?" One of the men in the crowd spoke up and said, "Teacher, I brought my son so you could heal him. He is possessed by an evil spirit that won't let him talk. And whenever the spirit seizes him, it throws him violently to the ground. Then he foams at the mouth and grinds his teeth and becomes rigid. So I asked your disciples to cast out the evil spirit, but they couldn't do it. Jesus said to them, 'You faithless people, how long must I be with you? How long must I put up with you? Bring the boy to me.'" Jesus is not happy. So they brought the boy, but when the evil spirit saw Jesus, it threw the child into a violent convulsion, and he fell to the ground, writhing and foaming at the mouth. "How long has this been happening?" Jesus asked the boy's father. He replied, "Since he was a little boy. The spirit often throws him into the fire, into water, trying to kill him. Have mercy on us and help us if you can." "What do you mean, if I can?" Jesus asked. "Anything is possible if a person believes." The father instantly cried out, "I do believe, but help me overcome my unbelief. I do believe, but I need some help with my unbelief." I'm an unbelieving believer. I've got faith for one area of my life and no faith for another area of my life. I believe God can do things for you. I just don't believe that God can do things for me. I'm an unbelieving believer. I think one of the primary sources and reasons that we do not see more miracles, whether it is corporately or individually, is because of doubt. I think doubt is a huge culprit. I think it's a huge cause as to the reason we do not see God doing more and working more and helping us more. I don't think you can discount the causes of doubt. I think they play a significant role. I think they play a massive role in our lives. And I want to talk through just a few of those today, some causes of doubt, some reasons that we doubt. The first one is that we believe like those around us. One of the reasons that we doubt, one of the reasons that we do not see miracles is because we believe like those around us. I need to say it again. I've said it. I'll keep on saying it, but relationships are spiritual. Relationships are contagious. You have to have the right people around you because right people reproduce right thoughts, while wrong people reproduce wrong thoughts. I have to surround myself with the right people. And maybe you're saying, yeah, I knew if I came to church, I was going to hear it. You got to be some exclusive club, or I can only hang out with other Christians. I can only be around other believers. No, I'm not saying that at all. I have a very diverse group of friends in my life, people that believe nothing like me, people who live completely differently than I live. I'm friendly with everyone, but I only allow certain people into my inner circle. I only allow certain people to have permission to speak into my life because right people reproduce the right kinds of conversations and beliefs because relationships are spiritual. Because the reality is we end up believing like the people around us. There's not a parent in this room who is not at some point in trying to monitor who your kids were hanging out with. You realize, you know what, whoever they spend the most time with, that's who they are going to think like. That's ultimately who they are going to live like. Because misery loves company. They want to pull us down to their way of living. I remind my kids all the time, listen, you're not following the crowd. You're welcome to lead the crowd. You're welcome to walk out ahead of them, not because you're better than anybody, but you're not going to succumb to the peer pressure and to what everyone else wants you to do or how everyone else wants you to think. Because if we're going to believe like those around us, then I want to make sure that I'm around the right people. Because I've learned that negative people have a problem for every solution. Mark 9 and 19, Jesus said to them, "You faithless people, how long must I be with you? How long must I put up with you? Bring the boy to me." Another translation says, "You faithless generation." He wasn't just talking to the dad. He wasn't just talking to the disciples or those few people. He was speaking to a generation. He was speaking to a cross-section of people. He was speaking to a whole people group to say, listen, when are you going to wake up and understand this? This is a culture problem. This is a problem that spans races and spans socioeconomic standings. This is a problem that spans a generation. Faithlessness, unbelief. How long are you going to continue thinking that living this way or living in negativity is going to work in your life? It does not work. That's why I realize there is lots of noise, but my loudest voices, they need to be vetted. I need to make sure that they are saying, that they are speaking the right thing. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 14 and 15 says, "Don't team up with those who are unbelievers. How can righteousness be a partner with wickedness? How can light live with darkness? What harmony can there be between Christ and the devil? How can a believer be a partner with an unbeliever?" Got to make sure I have the right relationships and I have the right people around me, because it's a huge cause of doubt if I don't have the right relationships in my life. I'll tell you another reason that we have doubt. It's because we've tried things that didn't work. We've tried things that didn't work. Anyone ever, you just tried something that didn't work. We've attempted things. We've all been there. We heard an idea. We heard a testimony. We heard a story told. Tell me what it was that you did. Tell me how you responded in this situation. And we did exactly, I read the same exact book that you read, that you testified when you read that book, that it was a light that came on and everything began to change in your marriage. And I went and read the same book and it didn't work for me. My marriage is still in a mess. I'm trying things that don't seem to be working in my life. Verse 17 of our Mark 9 text, one of the men in the crowd spoke up and said, "Teacher, I brought my son so you could heal him. He's possessed by an evil spirit and it won't let him talk." The spirit seizes him, throws him violently to the ground. "So I asked your disciples to cast out the evil spirit, but they couldn't do it. I brought him down for prayer. I anointed him with oil, but it didn't work." I want to empathize with people in this room today that you have tried things, or maybe you're in the process of trying things and it feels like it is not working. Listen, I really do believe that faith is not copy and paste. That's why we refer to it as a personal relationship with Christ. I've got to find out what God is speaking to me. I got to find out what God is saying to me. I got to figure out how it is that God wants to work in my life. That's why it's important that I have you praying for me. But it's most important that I am praying for myself. And I'm asking God, how do you want to work? And in what ways do you want to work in my life? Because I don't want to miss what your word is for me. Because I don't have time to keep trying things that do not work. But it causes doubt when we believe with all of our heart and it seems that whatever it is we're believing for does not work. And then there's another cause of doubt in that we believe, sort of. We believe, we're unbelieving believers. In that doubt and faith seem to run at equal speed. And we live in this place of spiritual instability where I'm strong in one area of my life, but I'm really struggling in another area of my life. How do we get all of this together? How do we get all of the faith balls bouncing at the same time and we're able to keep all of them bouncing and we're able to keep all of them working and moving? And how do we get all of this happening? Because I have no interest in being an unbelieving believer. I want to be a person of faith. I'm not asking to be Superman. I'm not asking for there to be an S on my chest. There is none. It's just a blank white t-shirt underneath. I don't have any cape tucked down into my jeans this morning. I'm just a man. Unbelieving, struggling sometimes. How do I get to the place where I am overcoming, where I am victorious, where I am on top of the mountain and soaring into the heights of faith? And that father cries out in Mark 9 and 24, "I do believe, but help me overcome my unbelief." James chapter 1, verses 6, 7, and 8, "But when you ask him, be sure that your faith is in God alone. Do not waver, for a person with divided loyalty is as unsettled as a wave of the sea that is blown and tossed by the wind. Such people should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Their loyalty is divided between God and the world, and they are unstable in everything they do. That means if I'm going to be a person of faith, I want to be a person of faith every single day of my life. I'm not using my faith as a get out of jail free card. You ever notice people get real spiritual when they get in trouble? But when things are going good in their life, where are they at today? Boy, when they were going through hell, they were at church every Sunday. Where are they? What happened? They got a little extra money, went and bought a boat. Now they're at some lake somewhere. Where are they? God bless all the people on vacation today. Amen. We're preaching to you. Hello, podcast. Pastor loves you. I'm not preaching. I'll be on vacation myself. God bless you. But you know what I'm talking about. I mean, when we're desperate, then just move everything out of my way. Clear the schedule. I want to be in the presence of God. But when everything is going good and wonderful and great in our lives, and it seems like it's not quite as important as it was when everything was going wrong in my life. We believe, but only sort of. We believe when it's convenient. We have faith when it's necessary. I want to challenge you to live better than that and to live higher than that and to step further into commitment. Wherever you are today, whether it's your first time or whether it's your 10,000th time in the presence of God, I want to encourage everyone to take a step in your faith, take a step in your journey, and keep reaching for the other and the more that God has for every single one of us. I want faith that honors God. I want to become a believing believer. That doesn't mean that everything I pray for is going to happen. That doesn't mean that everything I believe God for is going to come to pass, because we have to include His will, and we have to include His timing, and we have to understand that God's ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are different than our thoughts. And sometimes I really think something should happen. I really think something should go a certain way, but I don't know everything that there is to know, because I see through a glass darkly. I don't know always the complete and total will of God. That's why I pray for wisdom every single day. Lord, I want wisdom. I want wisdom, because I don't always know. I don't always know how you're working and the way that you're working, but I want my faith to honor you, and I want to be a believing believer. So how do we get faith that honors God? What is faith that honors God? I want to give you three things, and then we'll go to the picnic. Number one, faith that honors God believes when it doesn't see. It believes when it doesn't see. Hebrews 11:1, faith is the confidence that we hope for, that what we hope for will actually happen. It gives us assurance about things we cannot see. Because there is so much happening in my life spiritually. There is so much happening in my world that I do not even see. I have no idea. I have no idea what all is happening around me, what all is taking place. But faith gives me assurance about the things that I cannot see. Have you ever seen a miracle? Just talk back to me for a moment. Have you seen a miracle? You've seen God do a miracle? Yeah, I see hands. You've seen it. I mean, literally, I've seen God do miracles. I've seen it happen. I was preaching in Nicaragua. Never will forget, it was an auditorium that was wide like this, but it was an outdoor kind of a pavilion, kind of an idea where we're going to be in just a few minutes for the picnic. It was open air. There was about 4,000 people that were crammed into this pavilion. There were just people everywhere, and I never will forget, there was a young boy that was sitting right over here on my left. I was up on a stage just like this. Here's a young boy on the front row. His mother was with him. His father was with him. There were some siblings, and this boy was on crutches, and I had never seen anything like this in all of my years preaching and meeting people. I'd never seen anything like it, but this boy was so severely crippled that his legs were literally twisted. It's like you could see the bone twisted beneath the skin to the point that his feet were not sitting right. They were facing in wrong directions and turned severely inward. I mean, it was difficult to look at because it was gruesome. And while you had compassion, here is this young boy that is on the front row, and his family is worshiping God. His family is praising the Lord, and this boy is on crutches. His feet would crudely dangle and touch the ground every now and then. But I never will forget preaching in that conference, preaching about the fire of the Holy Spirit, and God just began to move in that room. And all I can tell you to explain it is that it was palpable. I could feel it. I could hear the wind blowing, but it wasn't just the breeze of that open air. It was the wind of the Holy Spirit that was blowing. And I never will forget, I was preaching and I was just saying, fire, fire, fire. And the interpreter that was standing next to me, he was saying, fuego, fuego. I was saying fire. He was saying fuego. And we're just preaching. And I never will forget looking over and seeing that young man and screaming, fire, fire. And all of a sudden, that boy got big eyes, and I looked down, and it was as though, it wasn't as though, because it was literally happening. The boy's legs began to unravel. They began to pop. They began to turn right before my eyes, and I'm standing here in the pulpit, and I'm screaming fire, and I mean it's happening all over the building, fire. And I start hitting the interpreter, and I'm saying fire, fire. And I'm pointing at this little boy because I'm seeing something I've never seen before, and literally his legs are unraveling, his feet are twisting, his knees are popping, all of this unraveling. And all of a sudden, as we keep saying fire, 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 all of a sudden that boy gets his feet straight in front of him, and he looks down at his feet, and he looks up at his mother, and he looks back down at his feet, and all of a sudden he threw those crutches and took off running across that auditorium. I'm talking about a boy that had never walked on his own before. I'm talking about a boy who had never ran in his life, because God does miracles. God does miracles. I'm telling you, I saw it with my own eye. It happened. It happened. That's not a parable. Knew a preacher used to get up and just preach just the most outlandish lies, and people started confronting him. You know, you wouldn't tell him the truth. He said, well, it was just a parable. No, you a liar. That's not a parable. That happened. I believe it. But hear me. I would believe even if I hadn't seen that. Because I know that God is able. And usually for every miracle that we've seen, most of the time we never saw it coming. Catches us by surprise. Bible said they went right into the house where he was staying, and Jesus asked the man, do you believe I can make you see? This is Matthew 9 and 28. Yes, Lord, they told him, we do. We believe that you can make us see. Number two, I'm hurrying. Number two, faith that honors God persists when nothing changes. I need just a moment to preach this, because this is where many of us are living. If I want faith that honors God, then my faith has to persist when nothing changes. Because some of you have had things that you've been praying about for a long time and you've not seen any change. You've not seen a turn. You've not seen anything happen. You've not seen any smoke or sign that God is even up there. In fact, you may be asking God, where are you? I'm praying about this, but you're not answering. You're silent. Listen, I'm going to stay with my faith. This is where the enemy gets so many people. Because we get in this place of waiting, and the enemy comes and starts whispering, you know, God doesn't love you. Man, why would you serve a God that does not answer you? Why do you keep going to church when nothing happens in your life? Why do you keep faithful? Why do you keep giving when everyone else appears to be blessed and you are just sitting here broke, busted, and disgusted? Faith persists when nothing changes. Colossians 4 and 2 says, be persistent in prayer and keep alert as you pray, giving thanks to God. I'm not going to give up, no matter what it is I'm facing today, no matter how long it's been since I've prayed or believed or put that into God's hands. Listen, if I've put it into the hand of the Lord, then I'm going to stop reaching up trying to take it back out of His hand. You ever had one of your kids give you something and then keep coming and taking it back? They want you to hold it, then they want to hold it. They just keep coming and putting it. I've done it this morning to my 11. Stop bringing me stuff. I got enough stuff of my own. That's the way we do with God sometimes. We come and pile it up, and then we start trying to take it all back. And generally, we only take it back when we need a real good excuse or reason to be unfaithful. Lord, I'm sorry. We had altar call first. I was trying to tell y'all. I got to have faith that persists even when nothing changes. Let me tell you something else about faith that honors God. Faith that honors God works when it doesn't make sense. It works when it doesn't make sense. James 2 and 22 says, you see, his faith and his actions worked together. His actions made his faith complete. Faith without works is dead. Wait a minute, we're saved by faith. It's not a works thing, I know, but you better know there's some works involved and there's some action involved. I got to put feet on my faith. I can tell you all day long that I believe, but if I never do any of the actionable things that come with belief, then I'm not living out my faith. That's why I don't have faith and stay home. I have faith and I come to church. That's why I have faith and I give. Because I'm living out the action of faith. Walking it out. I'm doing what His Word said to do. Unbelieving believers. Faith believes God can, but trust Him even if He doesn't. Because faith continues to do the right things even without evidence. Every single one of us. There's not one person in this room, the preacher included. who doesn't have stronger faith when we see the evidence that God is working? Evidence helps us, gives us hope. It proves to us. Thomas said, look, if you don't mind, I'm not trying to be offensive, but if it's all the same to you, I'm not going to believe until I see the nail scars in his hands. I'm not going to believe until I see the hurt place in his side. And Jesus said, I get it, Thomas. I want you to believe even if you have not seen. And I'm going to say, blessed are those who believe and have not seen. But I'm still going to let you see if that's what your faith needs. I'm not an unbelieving believer today. I heard a testimony this week from people right here in this room. I've seen them here today. I wish I could tell you the story. I wish I could tell you the details. I can't. I'm sorry. I know it, and I can't tell it to you. And that's not fair. But tears filled my eyes as I began to hear the story of how God worked in their life. I'm talking about just a few days ago. This week, just a few days ago. This last week. Unbelievable miracle. Why can't we tell it? Because it's not your business. Some things happen that no one ever knows. But you need to know that God works. What are you believing for? Maybe life has made you an unbelieving believer, but today you can make the switch. Not an unbelieving believer, I'm a believing believer. Miracles in your body, miracles in your family, miracles in your finances, miracles in your relationship. Allow God to prove himself to you today. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed all over this room. Jesus. Ooh, Lord. My faith looks up to thee, oh God.